today on Real Radio.
It's amazing. We have such a small town feeling here. Why? Because there's a local church. There's a local gathering of believers. And God's really into that stuff. And that's how we're able to care for each other. That's a neat thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called How a Church is to be Loved, begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 with verses 13 through 20. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Now, the Thessalonian church was established on Paul's second missionary journey to a Roman city called Thessalonica. Paul considered this church to be a model church, and he taught them to be vigilant about Christ's return. He also praised them for allowing God's word to fill their hearts and their minds, working in them and building in them a stronger faith. Today, Pastor Jack talks about how Paul's instruction to the Thessalonian church was taken seriously as they showed it in their devotion to spreading the gospel. The proof of their internal faith was proven by their external, public, and visible work among their neighbors. And now here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
But listen, when it all comes down to it, it's not what we say we are. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Baptist. I'm a non-denominationalist. So what? Strip away all the veneer, and what is it in my life and in your life that backs up that we're Christians? And forget the words. You visit the East Coast, and you quickly come to the conclusion that everybody thinks they're Christians. It's a very strange thing. The proof of a person's faith and salvation is seen, listen, in public devotion to God. I said public devotion to God. Our internal, personal, invisible faith in God can only be true, and it is only true, if there's an external, public, visible work among our neighbors and those we live with, or else our faith is in vain. The Word of God took effect in their lives and they were changed people. And the proof of it was how they lived their life. Now, this is the part that's going to upset people. If we're Christians and we're still living for ourselves and we are self-centered, then we say that we're a Christian, but we're not. And it's not what we say that gets us in. It's who we truly are in the Lord. We would be just like a car, polished, armor-alled, perfectly beautiful, with no wheels. That car looks good. That car, start the engine up, sounds good. But that car is going nowhere in their experience. It's dead. That's a serious thing. You might say, Jack, that's none of your business. I can't believe you're saying this. Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse 14, he says, the world, all of us have been given certain powers and talents. He calls them from the Lord. And if we take what God has given us and bury them in the ground, Jesus said there's coming a day when God will require from every person on earth dividends from God's investment in your life. And those who took their talents and their gifts and buried them and sat on it, Jesus says their end is destruction. Does the works save you? No, but because you're saved, you produce works. That's the way it is. Everything has been designed for a purpose in this world. Everything has a purpose. You get on an airplane. I got to tell you, this is great. You get on an airplane. This little kid in Cincinnati, making a connection. This is great. I'm sitting down there. This little guy, about 5 years old, jumps in the seat behind me, sits down there, and he goes, here we go. And he was so fired up. And he's got his face glued to the window. And I'm looking back over my shoulder. This is great. This is great. And the pilot, you know, we're taxiing out. And, you know, we're taxiing pretty good. I mean, we're moving along there. And the kid goes, here we go. Here we go. And I'm going, man, just wait till we take off. This kid's going to freak out. And we're going, I mean, in that airport, got a long runway taxi strip back, and we're going. And the kid goes, here we go. And then he was quiet, and we started to slow down, and we're waiting to depart. And the little guy goes over to his mom, he says, Mom, we will never get to Richmond going this slow. And I had to die. I mean, he's strapped to a rocket, and he thinks we're going to drive there. Why? That plane has been built for 600 miles an hour. That plane has been built for 35,000 feet. But some Christians are like driving a rocket around in the backyard. Here we go. Here we go. And God's going, yeah, I would like to see that happen. He wants to do so much with us, and we're like all excited because we're taxiing. And God says, man, just pull back and just wait what you'll see. And God wants to do works through us as a church. Works will not save us. We know that. But because we're saved, God's blessed us to do works. James, that's what the book of James is all about. But visible faith is called works. And how we live. They had done a good job. They had done good. Look what it says here, that they believed the word of God. It was effectively at work in those who believed. And that's a beautiful thing. We'll keep going, but we ought to, in time, research the seven letters to the seven churches in Revelation that Jesus wrote personally. And every one of those letters to the churches, he says, I know your works. That's a serious thing. And every one of us, by the way, in Revelation chapters 2 and 3 would fall under some category there. The second point that we need to see is found in verses 14 to 16, and that's not only is God's word in us in verse 13, but God's people are around us. And look around here, it's a beautiful thing. And I'm so blessed by this. He says in verse 14, for you, brethren, became imitators of the church. And in my Bible, I've got circled the word S. Church is S, churches. Listen carefully. The churches of God which are in Judea, that is a region in Christ Jesus. And what's so big about that and the church being plural? Listen, because God right here is stating to us, and he does it throughout the entire book of Acts, that God is totally committed to a local church. Isn't that neat? Yeah, there's a universal church, but we're one church in the Lord. We've been baptized into the body. There's one body, but nowhere is there one church. Be careful with that terminology. The one church is Satan's church that's going to come on the scene during the tribulation period. That's a global community. We don't have one church. We have one body making up zillions of churches. Isn't it beautiful that you can go across the street and step into a church that's teaching the Word of God? A different atmosphere, a different feeling. You can go across on the other side of the world and step into a church that's teaching the Word of God. A different atmosphere, a different feeling. Why? Because God is in the local church. And are you? Are you into a local church? You're supposed to be. I'm supposed to be. And what I love about this particular area that in which we live, we have really got it nice because we can go to the grocery store and wind up having fellowship. It's really funny in our house. Lisa will say, can you go get some cilantro? I want to make some salsa. Yeah. I'll be right back. And an hour and a half later, I come home. It's true. It happens every time. It's great. But she's like, I can't believe this. We got people coming over now. I'm in cilantro. And because I'll go to Albertsons, Vons, Ralph's, Alpha, it doesn't matter. And it's great fun. Stand in line. Hey, Pastor Jack. Hey, how you doing? And it's great. You've been there. We've talked. It's like you're four lines over. How you doing? Great. Praise the Lord. How's it going? Oh, praise God. And they'll, wow, really blessed. And it's just everybody, the place gets so quiet. They're talking about God publicly. It's amazing. We have such a small town feeling here. Why? Because there's a local church. There's a local gathering of believers. And God's really into that stuff. And that's how we're able to care for each other. That's a neat thing. I love that. Churches. He's into that. But also it says here, listen, for you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans. He's talking about being attacked now for being a Christian. He says, you know what? You guys became imitators of the churches of God. Well, what did we imitate of them? Well, you're faithful and they're in the word, but also they get persecuted. Oh boy. Well, you know what? That's one of the greatest blessings in disguise, is to be persecuted for the Lord Jesus' sake. Listen, Thessalonica, the city where this took place, was not a pro-Christian city. It wasn't an easy place to be a believer. The word suffer here means to suffer rejection and isolation. It means that you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus and your friends cut you off and don't any longer invite you. It means to turn the shoulder against you. A lot of people doing that in homes. We had a situation last night where a woman several weeks ago, from what I understand, accepted the Lord Jesus here, and her husband last night was beating her up. Come to find out, her family mocks her for being a Christian now. Brand new Christian! Husband beating her up, and kids, and family, even her the family coming and attacking her. Insane. Police had to come, and it's sick. None of us like to hear that. The intake of the Bible in their lives, though, guaranteed their success through such terrible times. People, times may not get better for us. Are you ready to hear that? It's easy for us to be believers here, but the Bible says in Peter's message to us, he says judgment will first begin at the house of the Lord. We could get raptured any second, praise the Lord. But some of you are in the crucible right now of testing. For some of us, it's coming. Suffering's not bad for Jesus' sake. What separates us from being successful in the attack and not being successful is, do we understand where we are at in the Word? Are we being attacked for Jesus' sake? And we are. And I know it doesn't feel like it, but it's one of the greatest things that can happen. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you should have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, hardship, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world. The word means to absolutely conquer, to prevail against it completely, to have the victory over it. And that's how we'll survive. It's a tremendous promise that he's given us. We have so much to say about this and not much time. But Peter tells us, jot this down. If you don't need this verse now, you will tomorrow. It says in 1 Peter 4:12, do not think that it is strange concerning the fiery trial which you have found yourself in, as though some strange thing has now happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed from heaven, you might be glad with exceeding joy. There's a common suffering that he's speaking about that comes to all people, but specifically here, he's talking about the sufferings that come against us when they're spiritually based. And Paul warns us again and again in this book. He said it in 1 Thessalonians 1:6, when he says, you became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, having received the word in much affliction. That word in the sixth verse of that first chapter means pressures from circumstances. And all of us know exactly what that means. Warren Wiersbe says concerning this verse, I love it. I wrote it down because it's worth quoting. Warren Wiersbe says, churches ought to call these times growing pains as they seek to win the lost, teach the believers, and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We may not experience the same persecution as this early church did, but there are brothers and sisters in the world today going through attacks even greater than this. All this confirms again to the heart that we need to be ready as we glorify the Lord in our souls in the way that we live. Growing pains. You may be attacked. I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I won't do it, but I can point to people in this church right now. You're under attack by family. And the fact of the matter is it's growing pains. And Paul's talking about this church experiencing the same thing. And then finally this is our last point. In verses 17 to 20, God's glory awaits us. God's glory awaits us. Look at his passion, Paul's passion to be with them. It says in verse 17, but we, brethren, having been taken away from you. This is interesting. Having been taken away, yanked out from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. Boy, isn't that something? Endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. We're talking big time passion words here. Endeavored, eagered, great desire. It's interesting. He says, we've been yanked away from you. Why? Did Paul get a hot fax? Hup, got to report to headquarters. Hup, got to go. I'll be back in a little bit. No, he was yanked out of the setting. How did that happen? Well, we know from other scriptures, we know from the book of Acts, that right in the middle of his preaching and teaching and schooling that church, Judaizers came. People came from out of Judaism saying, this guy Paul's a lunatic. And besides, you can't be saved without being circumcised anyway. And he doesn't even teach that. The same thing is true today for people who say, can't be saved unless you're baptized. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. Should you be baptized? Of course. But it doesn't save you. Nothing externally saves you. Remember that. Nothing externally damns you. It only tells the story about what's on the inside, whatever that may be. And next to verse 17, I just have Colossians 2:5 written. It's a wonderful verse. Colossians 2:5, you always want to give this verse to friends that are away from you. Ready? This is for your postcard that you'll mail while you're in Maui, laboring for the Lord, and you're thinking about us. And you send us this postcard that says at the end, sincerely, Colossians 2:15. Or 2:5, and it says, Paul says, though we be absent in the spirit, or in the flesh, though we are together in the spirit, and he says, I'm rejoicing to behold your steadfast order in the Lord. We can be absent from one another physically, but in the spirit, we're right with each other. And I know that to be true in my own life with those not only here, but others in other parts of the world. And he says something here that is alarming. Verse 18, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and time again, but Satan hindered us. Interesting. Verse 19, great verse concerning the coming of Jesus Christ and the rapture. He says, for what is our hope or joy or crown? What are we doing this for? What are we fighting Satan for? And what are we getting yanked out of cities for? And what are we getting beat up for? He says, isn't it even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. Verse 20, for you are our glory and joy. Isn't that a great heart? What are you doing this for, Paul? I get $120,000 a year. I get a black donkeys anywhere I go, man. I get designer robes. I get to stay in the best little huts, you know. That's not what he's... He said, now the reason why we're doing this is so that you'll stand before the Lord just absolutely acceptable in the sight when he comes for the rapture of the church. It's exactly what that verse means, the rapture, not the second coming, the rapture. And he says, man, that is our joy. That's it. That's why we're doing it. Isn't that a great heart? Do you want to have a pastor like that? There's nothing more than for you when the rapture comes. Man, you're ready. Wouldn't it be great? I mean, now this could be a little carnal, what I'm about to say. So be careful. Wouldn't it be awesome, though, if, you know, you could see the rapture in slow motion. Footage is going, frame by frame. And we're all here. And there's churches everywhere in the world when this thing happens. And the rapture takes place. And there's no seats here occupied by somebody. They're all empty. And it's sad because you might look at some church and they're like, three people go up. But wouldn't it be great here if there's no seats occupied at the moment of the rapture? You know, right now we're doing all this stuff. We have to be like 850 some odd parking spots for the property. You know how much land it takes to park 850 some odd cars? And I'm thinking, the rapture's gonna happen any minute here. So we'll pave the lot. put the building up. As long as we understand, it's nothing but a launch pad. That's all it is. Is it going to be beautiful? Who cares? Who cares? We're not living there. We're not going to move in there. The thing's going to melt. It's history before we even build it. And there's a cult right across the street. They can use our parking lot after. They can have the building. They can take it. No problem. We don't need it. We won't need it. And the beautiful thing is, man, stand before the Lord. That was Paul's excitement. His joy. Glory awaits us. Yeah, Satan's been goofing with us. Paul doesn't freak out and punch out. No. Coming of the Lord. You can close your Bible. We'll end with this. In fact, you can stand. You've been there a long time. I heard Bruce went way over last week, so I thought I could do it too then, seeing how you guys are. I want you to think about this. Paul's heart was to have the church prepared to receive and meet the Lord Jesus. In fact, in another scripture, he says, I want to prepare her, the church, like a prepared virgin for the wedding day. That's neat talk. And I want you to think about this. And is it true in our lives? What is that bride that day doing? She gets up early. She can hardly sleep. And the preparation, she's gone to bed with things in her hair, things in her ears. I mean, it's just like, looks like a landmine, you know, it's like amazing. And all the, why? Because now it's reached the point where she wants to look her absolute best. She's always wanted to, but it's her wedding day. And she's standing there with in a dress that's perfect. And she's just absolutely being meticulously waited on by everybody. She's perfect. It's like, ah. Why? Because her man is coming to take her away. And it's a beautiful thing. And Paul says, that's it. That's how I want to present the church. I want her standing there looking absolutely precious and perfect. And a lot of expense, a lot of hassle. The location's got to be right, the photographs, the flowers, the people involved. But nothing comes to the heart of the bride more important than how she looks at her moment of presentation to him. And the same is true for us. Father, in Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord, for the hope that we have in Jesus. And Lord, that if there be one person in this place that does not know such hope, that they would go back to that prayer room today and settle the account with you. Lord, bless them to do it. You've been waiting for them. And Lord, today, may they go back and pray and make themselves ready for the King's return. Father, we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church is to Be Loved. Thanks for listening today. And with God's word within us and with God's people around us, His glory awaits us. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, meanwhile, did you know that this ministry has an app? It's called the Real Life app. It's for your smartphone or tablet. And did you know? It's a free download. Just go to your app store and look for the Real Life app. Now, did you know that with this one app, you can access Real Radio, Pastor Jack's program on Sirius XM if you'd like, Real Life Devotions, which you hear us talk about quite often. The list seems to go on and on. Just download that app and you'll see. The Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. Also, don't forget to visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, should you ever need it, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.